Good evening. It's good you're here. Thank the Lord you're here. We made it. We just set this weekend aside. We need this weekend. I need this weekend. You need this weekend to open to the Lord, to hear the Lord, to give ourselves to the Lord. So may the Lord set this time aside. As young people in a crazy world, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
One thing is sure, Jesus is Lord. Let's all say that.
Jesus is Lord.
One more time.
Jesus is Lord.
That's so good to hear. On a Friday night in Texas, Jesus is Lord among many young people. Okay, this message is going to be a little shorter, and we're going to give you an opportunity to prophesy afterwards. So hang in here, look to the Lord, see if he speaks something to you. And then you'll get an opportunity. Then we have to explain some things about this conference. It's restructured. We pray the Lord is in this restructuring, and it would be for the further constitution of the members of the body of Christ in his word and speaking. All would get to speak something. When you speak, then the well of water gushes up through you, and you enjoy. So we hope everybody gets their mouth open multiple times. How about that? Are you ready? Are you willing? Y'all have a voice. Y'all have a spirit. Good, we can exercise our spirit to touch the living Lord, and springs of living water will come out. Okay, you should have an outline. Let's read, what's the title of the conference, you know? Yeah, God's Move Through Young People. God loves people. He's a people lover, especially young ones. He loves people. And he likes to move through them. That's how he moves on this earth. So we're going to look at how he moved through Christ as the foundation for the whole conference. And then the brothers are going to take it from there. We're going to look at Daniel and his companions tomorrow. And that's your message. Yes, you're going to give the message in the morning about Daniel and his companions. But don't worry, you're going to be prepared for it. You're going to have each other. You're going to have fellow time to fellowship. And you'll do just great. So don't worry, just enjoy. Okay, then we'll have a message on young people in the scriptures. In addition to Daniel, there's many young people. The Lord went to young people for his move. And then we'll go into church history. Tomorrow night, you don't want to miss that. You'll get a glimpse of God's move throughout the last two centuries, two millennium, about how God has moved. And he's moving today. He's moving today in these young people, and he's moving today on your campus. So Lord's Day morning, we'll conclude with how we can enter into his move at our age, at our day, on our campus, and God can move through us, just like he's moved throughout time. He's interested in moving because he wants to come back, which will be his final move, back to the earth. And then we're done. Hallelujah! Okay, so this first outline is God's move through Christ. Let's all say that.
God's move through Christ.
So if you don't see this, that Christ is central, then you could get confused later on. You could think the move is up to you, or it's how well I can do, or it's how powerful I am, or it centers on me. No, don't worry about that. The move is through Christ. And we want to go through this as a basis this evening so everybody can be real clear about the focus. And here you have someone get their Bible out and read to me Genesis 2:9. I put 2:10 up here, but I'd like to read 2:9. Who's our fast Bible flippers? For Genesis 2:9. Some of you may know it by heart. Who's got it? Be bold, be quick, stand up and declare it. Y'all are slow. When we were your age, man, we were on it. Go. Okay, in the garden, he put man in a lovely garden. I enjoyed the green grass up here. I was just awe, because Austin is brown. I thought it's going to be brown there at Lathan Springs. It's going to be dead and dry. And all this green, it just energized me to see life. You know, life is, green is the color of life. If anybody asks you what color God is, what are you going to tell them? Green. Deep green. He is life. So it just reminded me of God, all the fresh little shoots of wheat coming up. I just felt, oh, he's so good. He's so full of life. Well, you traveled here. Some traveled from Milwaukee, from Belize, all the parts of Texas. So we're going to do a little traveling tonight. You like to travel? All the young people like to travel. And we like to travel back and see in the garden, which, by the way, Eden means pleasant or pleasure. Pleasure. The green is a real pleasurable color to the eye. And in the garden, God put man in the very center. So, John, why don't you come on up here? You can be right in the center here. This is John. He's from UT. He's a freshman. Yay for John. John made it. I can pick on John because we're buddies. Okay, in the center of the universe is the Earth. By the way, if you get the chance to see Hubble 3D, I saw it 8 times. It'll blow your top. It takes you to the edge of the known seen universe. You're traveling at 1.5 trillion miles per second, and you reach the end. But tonight we want to travel not to the edge of the universe. We want to go to the center. So at the center of the universe, according to God's purpose, is the Earth. And in the center of the Earth is the Garden of Eden. And the center of the Garden of Eden is what? The tree of life. You're the tree of life. And the tree of life, if we read John 15, it's actually a vine tree. Because Christ is a tree of life. So here you have the tree of life. And he put man, come here, man. He put man right in the front of the tree of life. And man is a vessel. Look at this big vessel right here. Man is an eating vessel. Did you enjoy the barbecue dinner tonight? One plate, two plates, three plates, dessert. He's an eating vessel. Eats physically, takes in stuff psychologically, especially spiritually. He was made by God as an eating vessel, a receiving vessel. So God put man right in front of a tree of life and said it's pleasant to the sight. It's so pleasant, and it's good for something. What's it good for?
Food.
And what do you think this tree of life signifies? God embodied in Christ as life to man in the form of food. Let's say that again. God embodied in Christ as life to man in the form of food. So God didn't ask this man to come here, one more man, quickly. He didn't ask the man to come before me and bow down to me. Bow down and worship the food, worship me. No, what did he say? He said to the man, come to the tree of life, the center of the universe. We're traveling the center of the universe. Don't bow down, but chow down. Eat, chow down. Eat. It's good for food. It's in the middle of the garden. You can't miss it. And it's good for food. You got to get this concept. God is good for food. You like those grapes?
Pretty
awesome. Now you can pick up the rest of them and go sit down. But leave the tree of life up here. Okay? So, right there. So, he's good for food. And then a river flowed out of this tree. So, if you look on your outline, the triune God is likened to a river. Yeah, you're still the tree of life. Yeah, you can enjoy too. I'll feed you. Okay, let's read Genesis 2:10 together. Triune God is likened to a river. So you just saw the tree, the center of the universe. But along with this tree, there's a river to convey the tree, to flow out life. You got to get life. This conference is about life. If you want to be in God's move, it's a matter of God's life. God is alive. He's living, he's moving, he's active, he's purposeful, and he's moving. So out from the Garden of Eden, let's all read 2:10 together. And a river went forth from Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became 4 branches. So a river went out from this garden with the tree of life at the center to water the earth. And then you have this river of water. And if you look at the very end of the Bible, Revelation 22:1, that's the next verse, You also have this river, and it identifies it's a certain kind of river, a river of water of life. You got to get it. A river of water of life. So let's all read 22:1 together. And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its tree. And the tree of life was there also growing. So you have, thank you, John. The tree of life is there in the next verse in Revelation and in Genesis. So you got to pick this up. God's move is through this river. We want to focus on the river. The triune God is likened to a river. Okay, so these next two, three Roman numerals show God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And since God is somewhat mysterious, there's a very excellent picture of this in creation. And we were flying out to California to see the trainees, some of the brothers and sisters out in California, and Meryl and I were sitting on the plane, and also David. Oh, David, we were supposed to get you up here. Sorry. No. Okay, so we were fellowshipping. They actually put this outline together, a lot of it, and Meryl popped up with this great illustration. So he's going to come up and share for a few minutes about this picture in nature. And I want you to grasp it, because from that picture, we want to finish out this message. Okay, you ready, Meryl? Okay.
Praise the Lord. So I just wanted to share with you guys.
Oh, my? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yes. Oh, sorry. A quick physical picture. I just want you to get the illustration. This was something that I researched in one of my architecture projects in school, and it really applies to this message. And so this picture is just the triune God is flowing. He's an aquifer. He's a spring, and he's a river, and he's flowing to us. Okay, and we're drinking of him. Praise the Lord, right? 1 Corinthians 12:13, we've all been given to drink one spirit.
Amen.
So, I don't know if you guys are aware, but there's an aquifer under Austin and going down to San Antonio. It's called the Edwards Aquifer. And just briefly, I just want to draw, I'm not a geology major, so if you're a geology major and you know better than I, sorry, just excuse me. I'm going to simplify this for most of us, but basically, about 300 million years ago, two supercontinents collided and formed Pangaea, and Texas happens to be on the spot where they collided, and the line of their collision looked basically like this, going across, separating East and West Texas. And part of the result of that was some mountains were formed, the Ouachita Mountains up here. There's actually buried mountains under all of Central Texas, and then they come up again in what's called the Marathon Uplift. Okay, part of the result was that there was an aquifer formed. There was limestone that was pushed up and then eroded and became porous, and it became able to contain water, and then it was pushed back underground. So an aquifer is an underground layer of water-bearing rock, and that aquifer is called the Edwards Aquifer, and it goes just south of Austin and west of San Antonio, and it holds about 8 trillion gallons of water. So there's a lot of water down there. So there's a hidden source of water. There's a hidden supply for us all to enjoy.
Yeah.
Amen. So as settlers in the 1800s were moving west, they saw that Indian tribes were settled at certain springs. And Barton Springs was one of them, San Marcos, Comal Springs in New Braunfels, in San Antonio. And they were driving their cattle, and they're planning to do agriculture. And they saw we could live here at these springs. This is a viable place for us to live. There's clear, pure water. The San Marcos River that flows out of it is the third clearest river in the world. So the water that comes out of the Edwards Aquifer, it's actually the average age it's been underground is about 200 years. So it's been filtrating. It's been being purified. And there's a course that it takes, a very particular course. And that course comes up in a spring. And that course for us is Jesus Christ. He coursed to us to bring God as water to us, right? So as settlers were traveling, that's why we're living here. And I just want to draw a cross-section of an aquifer for you guys so you can kind of see a basic diagram. It's underground, and it's between 300 and 700 feet deep. So if that's the surface of the earth, you have a person here. It's a layer of rock under the surface of the earth, and water is flowing through it continually. We wouldn't know it was down there, just like we can't come to the Father, right? The Father dwells in unapproachable light, right? And then John 1:18 says, "No one has ever seen God, the only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him," right? So the Son was the manifestation of the hidden source. So there was a spring that comes up, and the water flowed up. And actually, when the pioneers saw, for example, the San Marcos Springs, it was gushing up several feet in the air. It was just this white-headed fountain. It was gushing up, right? So the course is the Son. He's the way that God took to reach us. And then a river flows out of that spring. And that's the Son as the river. But the flow of the water itself is the Spirit, right? So the flow of the water in San Antonio, actually, San Antonio, the entire city drinks the Edwards Aquifer water. So they live because of the Edwards Aquifer, right? But we live because of the Father.
Amen.
And we live by drinking the Spirit.
And
so this is the destination of the water. There's a city here. I'll just draw some buildings. So about 1.8 million people live because of the Edwards Aquifer. So this is this picture, this physical thing that's put into nature by God to show us who He is. It's a picture, right? So anyway, I just mentioned that to Tim and wanted to share it with you guys so you could see the picture of the triune God flowing to us. Amen.
Very good. Thank you. So you got the picture. So here, can you all see? What is this right here? The Father. Okay? As the source. You got to pick up three words, source. Father's a source. And then as the water's moving through this layer, porous rock, and then it begins to head, because of the pressure, it starts to gush up. So this is the course that it takes to be manifested and become drinkable to man. How would you know it's down there unless it's manifested at the surface where we live? It has to appear where man is. Okay, got to catch that one. So, and it gushes up, and then it flows out. So this is the course, the Son. The Son takes this course and flows. Okay? The course is the Son, and then the flow of this river, the flow of this water, all this flow here is the Spirit. The Spirit is flowing. God the Father is the source. God the Son is the
source.
God the Spirit is the
source.
Good. One more time. God the Father is the
source.
God the Son is the course. And God the Spirit is the flow. Got it? Okay, so we want to see this life is particular. God's move is based on this life. So if we think we're in God's move, but we're not receiving this life and enjoying this life, then we're not really in God's move. And some may say, well, how can you prove God's living, God's moving? I ask all the people in San Antonio, are the San Antonio brothers and sisters here? Yeah, stand up. Do you all drink water in San Antonio?
Yes.
Do you enjoy that water?
Yes.
I'm talking about the physical water, yes. That proves there's an aquifer 300 feet underground.
Amen.
It proves there's a Comal spring, right? So you're drinking. If someone tells you God's not real, they just haven't ever drank Him. They don't know He's real, but He's manifested in the Son, and He's enjoyed by us. That even substantiates, your drinking substantiates, there's an aquifer under there. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, good. Okay, so let's look at this. These few verses. Okay, so you have God the Father as a source there. And there we have, yet to us there is one God. Let's read it. You read it. Go.
Yet to us there
is one God, Yes, good. So one God, the Father, out from whom, that's the source, out from whom are all things, not just this living water, but all things. And we, the believers, are unto him. And then the next part of this verse actually gets into the course a little bit. And one Lord, Jesus, through whom, that's the course, through whom. The Father came to us through the Son. So then let's move on to Roman numeral 3. Let's read that Roman numeral. Ready? Go. Okay, so many of you have seen this diagram, but I think we'd like to review it just because for God's move, we have to know the source of this move, the course of this move, and the flow of this move. So we had God the Father dwelling, like Meryl said, in unapproachable light. We just put him up here. And he is hidden, unknown to man. And so he wants to make himself known, and this is the course of the river. So there's incarnation. So God decided to come into his creation. I was sitting on the plane back from Denmark. No, the lady was from Denmark. I was in Holland. And I was talking to her about the Lord. And I looked at her and I said, yeah, and I was talking about God. And I said, and God became a man. And she went, God? God became a man? It's just like, tilt. Wait a minute. No, that's God. That's not a man. I said, no, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. God became a man. So to some people, this is off the chart. In fact, also when I was in Holland, I was fellowshipping with some of the brothers and sisters there in Israel. And it's hard there because you're among many Jews. And as soon as you can talk about God with them, but as soon, and Adonai is the name they use for God, Jehovah, their word that they use there, Adonai. And as soon as you connect the name Jesus with Adonai, they just revolt. No, he's not God. No. And they're no longer your friend, no longer want to be around you. It's just a jolt to their system. And that, actually, when I heard that, it helped me understand what Saul and they were up against in the Old Testament and the New Testament, especially in the New Testament when they were speaking to the Jews. It's just this, it's not, okay, I'll consider that, I'll think about that, let's talk about it some more. It's just an outright wall. No, you become not, they're no longer friend. You're a blasphemy. You're a blasphemer. That's why they stoned Stephen, because they were so upset when he connected God with this man Jesus. It was, kill him. Blasphemy. Our God is not a man. Boom. Out. And of course, as Stephen's being stoned, he's calling, oh, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Oh, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Don't hold this sin against them. That impressed a young man that was right there. They laid their garments at a young man named Saul. Okay? So this person became, God became a man. You have the verses there. Let's read them. In the beginning was the Word. Okay, so in eternity, he was God, and in time, God, and usually we just draw this with one line. I'm going to draw a river here. Remember, we got a river flowing. He flowed himself to the earth as a river in the course of a man, Jesus Christ. This is his incarnation to the earth. This is a big step. God in eternity stepped out of time. He stepped into the creation. To get this life into man, he became such. This is a huge step. Incarnation. Then he lived. B is a human living. And verse 5:19 says what? Read it. Then Jesus. Okay, the Son, you would think, well, he's just here. He can live his own life. What a pattern. It says in several places that he can do nothing from himself. Nothing from himself. That means he is not the source. But what he sees the Father doing, whatever that one does, these things the Son also does in like manner. So he, as Jesus Christ, did not act independently of the Father. He did nothing, it says what? Nothing from himself. But what the Father's doing, walking, he was the source of his talking, his speaking. When he spoke the words of the Father. See? So this is a pattern. Why do we choose this verse? Because we're here on earth. We have the same opportunity to live by another life. We can speak our own words, make our own decisions, do our own things, act independently, and that's not according to the pattern. But he took another life. And he was the Lord Jesus. Yeah. And I don't think you're quite of the same constitution as the Lord Jesus. So if he put aside his life, what about us? Obviously, we need to take him as our life. So that's what he did. So thank you. And the other points here, so he took the Father as his life, and then let's read Mark 1:15 through 16. Okay, so he went about preaching, teaching, healing, and saying repent and believe. And as soon as he went out to the gospel, he went and got some young men, these Simon and Andrew. So I want you to underscore this point. He didn't do it alone. He was sent out, and he went and he got Andrew and Simon to join him, and then eventually he got some others. So he had some young men with him for his gospel speaking. And in Mark 3:13 and 14, he says he called them, he went up to the mountain and called to him those whom he himself wanted, and they went to him, and then he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they, underline this, they might be with him. So he wants to be among young people. That's why he called you to this conference. He's here among us. He wants to be among us. He likes to gather the young ones and be among them. That's how we hear his voice. We see him in the other members, and we learn of him, and we can take him as our life. So in his human living, there's a lot of stuff to say about his human living, but time doesn't permit. I want you to catch these two things. He lived by another life, and he also was with the disciples, and they were learning of him. Okay, then we have his death. This is the course, remember. We want to know the course of this river. And so they crucified him. And it says, let's read John 19:34. Okay, so picture this. God in eternity, eventually he comes in time about 2,000 years ago, and in him is life. But it's bottled up. It was just bottled up in eternity in the triune God. But now it's taken an expression, a course, and now it's in a man on the earth. Jesus Christ. This life is now gotten into one man. But that's not enough. He wants to get into many men. So there he is, bottled up in him is the eternal life. Oh my goodness. And Satan thought, good, I'm going to wipe out this eternal life. I'm going to destroy this person from the earth. And so he had him crucified and cruelly pierced his side. And oh, guess what? In this one is eternal life. And so the soldier pierced his side and thought, he's finished. But guess what? It just released. Out came blood and water. It got released. When you think of the crucifixion, you have to think of life releasing. Write that word on your outline. Life releasing. This life that was once only in the triune God eternity, now in the person of Jesus Christ. And they thought they had him. They thought they finished him off. They did just the thing that he was planning they would do. And they released through his death. The eternal life was released out of the shell. It escaped. It got released on the earth. Eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Life came out. Life flowed out. And there's this wonderful hymn. And if you'll flip to it, it's just on the flip side of your sheet. It's the last hymn. Why don't we read it real quick? It's on your outline. 13. Why don't we read this? Or do you know the hymn? Let's sing it if we can. Gary, can you lead it? This cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Let the water
and the blood. The water and the blood. The double cure. Let me ask you, you're all college students, what is the double cure? What is the double cure here? The water and the blood flowing from it, flowing out. The double cure. What do you think it is? What is the double cure here? What was this hymnist, what was his thought here? You want to read the line again? Read it again. Just the last few lines. Okay, and the line before that was the flowing, right? Read the last three lines.
From thy ribbon side which flowed, he of sin the double pure, save me from his guilt and power.
Okay, so there it is, the water and the blood. From the ribbon side which flowed, be of sin the double cure. Save me from his guilt and power. Who wants to offer an answer up real quick? Anybody understand? Yeah. Close. Double cure. It's here in the hymn. Come on, you sang the song. Let the water and the blood from thy riven, what's riven mean? Pierced, opened up, side, which flowed. The water and the blood flowed. Be of sin the double cure. Save me from his guilt and power. Mara, what is it? The guilt and power. The double cure, the blood takes care of the guilt. Whenever we sin, our conscience is killing us. And the blood, anybody have a failure today? Yeah, that hand went up really quick. I had several of them. I still have some more. But this blood takes care of the guilt. It washes that clean. You don't have to live with guilt. You know why there's so many pills and so many programs and so many things to help man? Because he's under the weight, the guilt. It's driving him nuts. But you know, there's a cure. It's the blood of Christ. It's the blood of Christ. He got released. It's a cure from the guilt of sin. So it deals with their sinful acts. Okay, what's the other cure? Double. Huh? The power of sin. It's the sin nature in us that drives us to sin. You can say, I'm not going to sin. I can control sin. Ha ha. You don't know who you are. You're powerless. But the water that flowed out of the side, it deals with the power of sin. The double cure. So it's our sin nature got dealt with. When they pierced that side, yahoo! Out came the double cure. The blood for our sins and the water to deal with the sinful nature. The power of sin was dealt with. The guilt of sin was dealt with. Hallelujah! Have any of y'all been cured? You're sick people. There's a cure. Don't go pay the doctor hundreds of dollars and all those things. Take the cure. It's the real cure from guilt. And the power of sin, the guilt of sin, the power of sin. Praise the Lord for the double cure. Amen. Hallelujah for Jesus, our doctor. Amen. Let's tell Jesus, doctor, I love you. Jesus, doctor, I love you. About Jesus, doctor, Jesus, I come to you. Jesus, I come to you. Jesus, I come, I come. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. You must be enjoying the Lord more. Last conference I saw, you hardly ever smile. Now you're grinning. You're growing in life. That's a smile of life. You're David, right? Remember how straight-faced you used to be? Now look at that big smile. You must have gotten cured, brother. The more you get cured, the more joyful you'll be, the happier you'll be. And he took care of it. It's not your doing. It's not your trying. It's Jesus. Amen. Okay, tremendous. This life got released, and then the resurrection. This life, you can write this down, it's life imparting. Come up here again. So it got released out of his side, out of his side. They killed him, and here we are. And in the resurrection, let's read this verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has regenerated us unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay, so not only is it life releasing and death, but it's also life, what? Imparting. So now you and I are just, we're here as men, and when the Lord Jesus resurrected, we all got life imparted into us. We were raised. When he was raised, we were raised. We were regenerated. You say, that didn't make any sense. How could I be raised before I was born? Well, you're not God. You don't understand so well. You have a time. You have a clock. Yeah, you did experience at one point. But in God's view, according to the scripture, we were regenerated when he was raised. That means his resurrection life. And go back and read Matthew. When he resurrected, saints, the saints got out of the tombs. Amen. Life was imparted into people. Life got into people. So check this out. Once it was just God alone. Then it was just in the person Jesus Christ and the human living. Then they pierced his side and out came blood and water. And then he was buried and he resurrected. And that was life imparting. Now this life that was just in God in eternity, that was just in the Lord Jesus, is now in you. It's the same life. What else do you want? You want a 4.0? You want to be an astronaut? How about the eternal life of God? Amen. It got imparted into you. Amen. This person got into you. Let me in there. I'm in James Smith. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's imparted. He's in there. He's in there. He's in there. He lives in you, James. Awesome. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, then he ascended. And therefore, let's read this one. The scripture says, having ascended to the height, so now he goes up, man. He goes up, up, up. And give me your chair over here. Up. He ascended up, go up higher. up, up. He ascended to the height. The height. There's no one higher. There's no name greater. He's over everything. Everyone, even Satan, that lowly devil's way down there. He's far above all. Above. Amen.
Amen.
This is the reality, and he led captives. He took us up with him as his body. Ascended. This is a fact. When the devil's knocking at you, just shut up.
Shut up, devil.
You got defeated. I got eternal life. I'm far above you. I'm in his body. I'm ascended with him. Get out of here. Shut up.
Amen.
The power to deal with sin. The water. You're in this flow. Praise the Lord. So this is the course he took. Ascended to the height. He led captive those taken captive. Okay, stay there. And now we go to the flow of the Spirit. And this flow has to go in about 5 minutes. Oh, Jesus, flow. Okay, so the flow of the river is the Spirit. So you got the picture of the aquifer. Now here he is ascended. And this ascended one, he said, before he was crucified in John 4:14, let's read this, these two sets of verses, 4:14, 4:37, I mean 7:37 and 39. But whoever
drinks of the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever, but the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water rushing up into eternal life.
Okay, so he's going to be a little man here again. The water that I will give him will become in him. In him. It's in him.
Amen.
It's not out there, it's in him. In him, a fountain of water gushing up into eternal life. Life is going to be gushing up. I'm going to install in you a flow. Out of that aquifer in San Marcos, 100 million gallons a day flows out of that. It's a gusher. We got a gusher. Gushing up into eternal life. And then he told in 7 that on the last day, the great day, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me, the Lord Jesus. And he who believes as in me, into me, out of his circle that, innermost being. Out of the innermost being shall flow, underline, flow rivers of living water. Out of his innermost being will flow rivers. So this river has gone through this whole course, flowing, flowing, flowing as the Spirit and into man. Isn't that amazing, marvelous? There's a flow of river. How do you get this flow going sometimes? Maybe it's stopped up. What do you do? What's some of your experiences to enjoy this flow? Huh? Confess? Good. That gets the barriers out of the way. Lord, I did it. I'm wrong again. Thank you for your blood. Boop. There went that rock. What else? Huh? Thanksgiving, a great one. Give thanks to the Lord. I just flunked my chemistry test. Thank you, Lord. Starts to bubble up a little bit. Okay, what else? Get with the body. Oh, my goodness. Whenever you can't handle it, you're not made to handle it alone. Find the bros. Find the brothers. You're the brothers. Then the Lord will start bubbling up. What else you got?
Amen.
Preach the gospel. Oh, that means it's coming out of your mouth. You know who drinks the first when it comes out of your mouth? You do. What else you got? Huh? Praising is a good one. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, but I don't feel like it. So what?
Praise the Lord.
I don't think it's, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. So what?
Praise the Lord!
It's not based on you or what you did or what you didn't do. It's based on the Lord.
Amen.
He's been crowned with glory and honor. He's defeated Satan. He's enthroned above everything. He's in full control.
Amen.
He's responsible for your life. Shouldn't you praise him?
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now say it with the joyful, just full of thanks and praise. Praise the Lord. Oh, that'll get your spirit going. And Satan cannot win. He cannot hang around. He's shaking in his boots.
That's right.
Okay, so 1 Corinthians 15:45. Last Adam became a life-giving spirit, and then he breathed. So the day of his resurrection, it says he breathed into them. He could not wait. This life that was bottled up in eternity and then in the sun and got released on the very day he resurrected, the life-imparting experience came. They experienced the breath. This is the flow in breath form. He breathed into them. And he said, receive what? The Holy Spirit. He reached him. It got into him. It was imparted to him. So this is the flow. You doing okay, James?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the life-giving aspect, to give life, to cause him to live and be regenerated. Now he's alive. Formerly, he was dead. The people around your campus that don't know the Lord Jesus, they may look cool. They may have the muscles. They may have the babes. They may have the BMWs. But if they ain't got Jesus, they don't have anything.
That's right.
They're dead men. Don't be conned. This is a real life. It's all, the other things are all a lie, actually. This is reality. Okay, so he breathed into them, and then, and B, he empowered them. He didn't want them to go yet. So he said in Luke 24, I send forth the promise of my spirit upon you, but stay in the city until you put on power. So you underline the word power. And in Acts 1:8, it's you shall receive power when what? The Holy Spirit comes upon you. So this is the outpouring. The breath was in there, and then on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out upon like a clothing. Now on the outside. So now you will be my witnesses. I'm in you as life. I'm empowering you as the Spirit. So you just go speak. What campus are you on, James?
UNT.
UNT, awesome. You are fully empowered. You're with the brothers. And when you go and speak, the Spirit will be speaking through you. And you'll see people, lives get affected and get changed because the powering is there. He's empowering. And then, so he talked about the empowering, and that came, stand back up there. And so when this happened, that was 1:8, he was predicting it, and then it happened on the day of Pentecost. And then 2:33 says, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, he has poured out this which you both see and hear. And then 2:17, let's read it. Good. So in the last day, I will pour out. So now as the ascended one, he descends. Come on down. And he pours out. The Spirit is being poured out on all flesh. The water is being poured out. So the Spirit is being poured out. Here, we just pour out. Just picture this. This is the flow. Okay, this is the water. He's flowing out. Here, I just got, he's pouring out. There's a pouring out of all his Spirit on all flesh. He's poured out. You see the flow? It's now poured out on all flesh, and it says your sons and daughters will do what? Prophesy. The speaking, what this poured out Spirit causes you to do as a living water within you, it causes you to speak. To speak. And that's a manifestation of the Spirit, is you're speaking. You're speaking something of the Lord. You're saying to your classmate, I'm a Christian, or I love the Lord, or the Lord lives in me. Something of the speaking, because the Spirit's been poured out, and it specifically says that you will speak, you will prophesy. Prophesying is a speaking. So guess what we're going to do right now? That's kind of weak. Are you sure you've received the Spirit? How's that manifested? Speaking.
Amen.
You say, well, I can't speak. Right. The Spirit's speaking in you.
Amen.
So you just come up to this microphone and open up your mouth, and guess what's going to come out? The Spirit.
Amen.
He's poured out. And that's the river flowing. So this river is flowing so much we can swim in it, we can drink it. It's like the pure water from the spring, the aquifer. You can drink this water. You can have life in you. You can swim in it. You can live in it. And all your compadres here, your companions, y'all can all be together in this river, having a great flow, a great time in the river, flowing and speaking. So how about we give you till about 9 o'clock? No time for the last point. Well, the destination, real quick, the destination of the river. This river has a destination. Amen. In Merrill's illustration, it was the city of San Antonio. But the real river, by the way, that river is just a picture, a physical picture. Someday it'll be gone. But this river will be flowing through eternity, and what it produces is the New Jerusalem, and today that's known as the body of Christ.
Amen.
So the destination of this Spirit is not to make you some spiritual giant on your campus, not to make you some superstar. It's to build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
So how can you build up the body of Christ?
Speaking.
Amen. Speaking your enjoyment. Just speak. Begin to speak. Will you do it? Amen. Speak. So let's set the mics up, and we will have, you'll get about maybe 30 seconds we can start. So come on up, and then we're going to have some more fellowship after you get through speaking. Thank you, James. Praise the Lord.
I keep those grapes.
You can keep those grapes.
Thanks.
Yeah. If you share them with your buddies.
Amen.
Okay. So the mics are ready, and you've received the Spirit, and you're going to build up the body, and you're going to practice speaking this whole weekend. You say, well, I've never spoken anything. That's great. You come up and practice. We love all the speaking ones. The Spirit's been poured out. He's no longer bottled up.